PD is requesting medical personnel in Theater 9. They have a child down and cannot evacuate. And PD is advising there are 10 people down outside of behind Theater 9.
I need somebody to shut this movie off at 9. Have you shut the movie off at 9?
Lincoln 25 to everybody on this. It's an assault rifle. We have magazines down inside, so please watch out for the assault rifle.
Those are the sounds from the Denver police scanners in the early hours of the morning of July 20th as we begin a very somber edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Anne Crane here with Ryan Dobson and our host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. Doctor?
Well, Lou Anne and Ryan, at times like these, there really are no words to express adequately what we and millions of other people around the world are feeling in the wake of this tragedy. Let me just offer our sympathies and prayers to the families who were impacted by the mass shooting that took place inside of a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, just a week ago today. It brings back that terrible day, April 20th, 1999, when 12 children and one teacher were killed in the Columbine Massacre, and that was just north of us here in Colorado Springs. And yet here we are again. Aurora is a suburb of Denver, and it's literally under an hour from the Family Talk offices. And I can just tell our listeners that our hearts are literally breaking for our neighbors to the north. And, you know, recalling the tragedy that occurred at Columbine reminds us of the shooting that occurred in Arvada, Colorado, at the YWAM headquarters.
Yeah.
And then later that day, there was a shooting at New Life Church here in Colorado Springs.
So yeah,
four people died in those two shootings. So when we talk about evil, this is nothing new. This is Satan's handiwork, and he's on a rampage at this time.
Well, Dad, you know there are few around the country who have not heard about the shootings that took place on the 20th during a midnight showing of a new blockbuster movie.
12 souls went into eternity, and 58 people were injured on that night. I would like to begin, Ryan and Luann, by sharing the names of the people who died. This tragedy is, after all, about people.
That's right.
And let me first read the names of five men who died trying to protect the women that they were with. These five men put their bodies at risk and paid the supreme sacrifice trying to save the women. They are John Blunk, 26 years old, Matt McQuinn, 27 years old, Alex Tevis, 24 years old, Jesse Childress, 29 years old and an Air Force reservist, John Larimer, 27 years old. And those were the five men that died in that heroic effort to save a woman.
Literally took a bullet for her, Doctor.
The other individuals there were Gordon Cowden, Veronica Moser Sullivan, 6 years old, A.J. Boyk, 24 years old, Alex Sullivan, who turned 27 on the day that he was killed, on his birthday. Michaela Medic, 23 years old. Rebecca Ann Wingo, 32 years old, the mother of two. And Jessica Gowie, 24 years old. Those are the people who died. And I would like to focus a little bit on some of the stories that we have now heard of the people involved in this tragedy. Pierce O'Farrell, 28 years old, in a hospital bed interview with CBS reporter Aaron Moriarty, recalls the scene at the theater that night. He said, quote, "As I'm lying here, I'm just praying. I could hear the gunshots getting closer." He started with a shotgun. He literally lit up the theater with a mini explosion. Mm-hmm. Pierce was hit at least twice in the foot and the arm. He kept praying. When the gunshot stopped and the gunman appeared to have left the theater, Pierce stood up but collapsed face first on the ground before exiting the theater because the pain was so overwhelming. The gunman returned and was standing 6 inches from Pierce's head, firing off more rounds. Pierce lay there and continued to pray. Eventually, the gunman left, leaving the victims all alone in the theater to be rescued moments later by first responders. Pierce reflects, quote, "There is evil in this world and there is darkness, and you could feel that from him when you saw him. It was a dark presence, and unfortunately, the darkness is very real. You know there's an enemy, but the wonderful news is that there is a light that shines brighter than the darkness ever imagined."
Mm. And I think, Doctor, the story that hits me is how a little life emerged in the midst of all of this death. We're hearing the story of Caleb Medley, who is still recuperating in an Aurora hospital, where just a few days ago his son was born to his wife. So she gave birth to this man's son in the very same hospital that he is at right now, recovering from those injuries. There's just such irony here.
And I'm told that he may never recover because he lost an eye and may have brain damage. Mm-hmm. And here she is in another part of the hospital giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many of the stories that came out of that event are so poignant.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another one. Ashley Mosier, 25 years old, was pregnant when hit twice in the abdomen. She remains paralyzed, but astonishingly, her baby has survived.
Hmm.
Sadly, her 6-year-old daughter, Veronica, was the youngest killed. It's overwhelming. I cannot imagine how I'd be feeling if Lincoln had been shot.
Ryan, there is a mom who understands that. I think of the story of Petra Anderson. She's 22 years old. Her mom was even yet recovering from breast cancer, which has returned. And now Petra received 3 shotgun pellets that hit her arm. One went through her nose, rode up the back of her cranium, and hit the back of her skull. This is a miracle that she has survived. And I'm amazed to report that after her neurosurgery, she appears to be on her way to a full recovery.
Wow. There have been so many blogs and so many editorials written about this tragedy. One of them came from my very good friend Joel Rosenberg. In fact, we're going to have him here as our guest in a few weeks. He's written many books that our listeners will be familiar with. But the most recent one is called Implosion: Can America Recover from Its Economic and Spiritual Challenges in Time, which is very, very relevant to what's going on right now in Aurora. I wish I had time to read his entire blog, because what he had to say talked about evil again in a very dramatic way. But one of his paragraphs said this: "Pray especially for my friend Ed Taylor, the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Aurora. He's in the thick of all this. 33 members of his congregation were at that theater when the shooting started.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, he delivered a powerful sermon based on 2 Kings 6:13 to 17.
Dad, Joel linked to that sermon, and we were curious, and so we've listened to it, and I think it's appropriate to play a portion of it here.
And again, this gentleman is the pastor of Calvary Chapel right there in Aurora, and it's important to point out this literally was the Sunday after the shootings.
Mm. In Psalm 119, verse 25, the psalmist says, "My soul clings to the dust. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." And I think there's so many living in that reality even now. And either side of that reality, the reality of my soul clinging to the dust, or the fact that the word of God brings great comfort and reviving, our city is forever changed because of this event that happened just hours ago. It's just hours. We're still measuring things in hours. It's just a couple days. Families are grieving and emotions are raw. There have been countless sleepless nights. Depression has kicked in. People aren't concentrating. They're not sleeping. There's a lot of anger, a lot of frustration in our city, a lot of questions. There's anxiety and worry and fear. There are people questioning whether they'll ever go into a movie theater again. There are especially people questioning whether they'll ever go into the Century 16 movie theater again. There are people that are mad at God, people that are questioning God's existence. And it's important for you to know that the feelings that you're having are normal, that considering the situation, as senseless and tragic as it is, the feelings surrounding this are what a normal person would feel when confronted with very abnormal circumstances, in this case, a very traumatic event. Because tragedies like these have a way of gripping people, gripping their minds, taking away their focus. Tragedies like these have a way of stumbling us, knocking. Well, the best way I like to describe it, if you've ever had the wind knocked out of you physically, our city has had the wind knocked out of them spiritually as well as physically. You know, when you get hit like that, your mind is automatically, everything has changed. It's complete. I just want to get my breath. I just want to get my breath. Nothing else matters. And the city is taking a punch. I know that the why question has come up. I'm sure people have asked you why and where and what. As a pastor sitting across a table with people dealing with tragedy all the time, I want you to know that I wish I could answer that question for you. But in order to answer a question why, we would have to be as smart and as wise as God is. We would have to know everything there is to know about God and from His perspective. And at this point in time in our humanity, we don't have that knowledge. But the focus here in a tragedy like this is on the senseless, sinful evil that was perpetrated there. That what we've experienced is, and what these precious families have to deal with, is the senseless act of a sinful man. And one of the things that God has shown me is that we need to have spiritual eyes to be able to see behind the obvious. And that's what we find here in 2 Kings. I want to give you an encouragement that God can give you insight far beyond what you see with the physical eye. That God wants to give you comfort and courage through His Word. We're told over and over again in the Scriptures to remember the Word, Psalm 119. That God is our strength and our shield, and we trust in Him, Psalm 28, verse 7. In the multitude of my anxieties, the Bible says in Psalm 94, verse 19, your comforts delight my soul. And so there's two things I want to equip you with today that will help you as you respond to this tragedy, as you open yourself up to the people in your life, as you start to be an answerer to questions. I want to show you that there's two things you can do right away. You can, number one, speak the word or speak a word of encouragement. And number two, you can pray a prayer, because that's what happens here in our true account of an episode in Elisha's life in 2 Kings chapter 6. If you get there with me, 2 Kings chapter 6. The king of Syria has waged war against the people of Israel in this by this time in history. The king of Syria, a wonderful type of the devil himself, as he's waging war, and part of the war included setting up various ambushes throughout the land to capture the people. But every time the king of Syria laid an ambush, Israel was able to avoid it. And so he was upset and he called his counselors together and said, "What is going on?" And his counselors said, "You know what? This is more than military strategy. Israel has a prophet that knows what's going on before it happens. He even knows what's going on in your bedroom." That's how in tune he is with his God. And so there is this call here. By the time we come to verse 13, the response of the king of Syria, as he's facing all of his ambushes, not being successful, and finding out that there's a guy that knows information He tells him in verse 13, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him that surely he's in the city of Dothan. And therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by the night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose, now this is the servant to Elisha. When his servant, Elisha's servant, arose early and went out, there was a great army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And isn't that the question of the day? As we wake up, many of us woke up to the announcements. I woke up to my phone ringing. And my first thought was, where's my son? Because my son is back from college. This is a group that he would have been with. I went to bed at 10 o'clock. A lot of things can happen after 10 o'clock. And rushing in, first waking up Marie and saying, is Josh here? Is Josh here? Running into the bedroom and saying, Josh, are you here? Waking him up, and he was there. My mind was flooded. What are we going to do? What are we dealing with? And I paced in my front room watching the news, like, what are we going to do, Lord? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Coming to find out, oh no, I'm checking all the texts that I got through the evening and all the people that were there. I'm like, oh my, this is our group. This is our church. I called Chandel. I said, Chandel, call them one by one and find out if they're okay. And while you're calling them, I'll start getting the group together and we'll start going out and what shall we do? What shall we do? Well, notice what the answer was. In verse 16, he answered, do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those that are with them. You see, there's a spiritual world surrounding us. We live in two worlds at the same time. We live in the physical, but we also live in the spiritual. We live in the physical. We live our lives out in the physical realm, person to person, man to man, woman to woman. But there's also a spiritual world behind the scenes. It's the very world that Jesus Christ entered into, where the Bible says that he left that glorious place of heaven and he came and he took a physical body on. He entered into our physical world, the Savior of the world. He became a man and took on the form of a servant. And for 3 years, Jesus, he went through this world just telling people about the love of God, how God loves and cares for you. That's the message of Jesus. That while he has your attention, it's important for you to know that you're greatly loved. Your life is valuable. And through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your sins and mine can be forgiven. That today, while God has your attention, and you recognize your own mortality, and you recognize that what the Bible truly says, you have learned a few verses in the Bible, whether you realize it or not, the Bible says that life is just a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. It passes by so quickly that no one is guaranteed tomorrow. And that while these are on your mind and while you're thinking them through, today is the day of salvation. No longer to put it off. Friend, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day to believe. Well, Jesus' life ended in great tragedy, because he was horrifically crucified on a Roman cross as an innocent man. The atrocity of the innocent losing their life is the story of Jesus. The story of Jesus is the innocent. And they did violently kill Jesus and buried him and believed from a political realm that they were done with it and the religious realm that they were done with it, but we know by many eyewitness accounts that Jesus rose again and that he's alive. And the very comfort and encouragement that we're all able to enjoy is because of the life of Jesus. And so the word of the Lord says to us, do not fear. Part of the spiritual realm is not just the story of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, the Savior, but also the Bible speaks and teaches us of the demonic. As real as God is, the devil is just as real, created by God as an angel, but in his rebellion. Well, you know, Jesus said it himself in John chapter 10 that the thief doesn't come except to kill, steal, and destroy. So Elisha says, don't fear. There's so much more going on behind the scenes. So much going on in the spiritual realm. But not only did he speak a word, but he also prayed a prayer. It says in verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And notice, God answered that prayer. It says, then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so Elisha, knowing what he knew and seeing what he saw, he prays a prayer for his friend, for his servant, that he would open his eyes. And in an instant of time, God answered that prayer, and Elisha's servant saw what Elisha saw. And all the worry and anxiety vanquished in a moment. And here are things that can get you, I believe, in tune with God's heart for our city. Number one, pray for your city by name. That could even mean you start to pray for your neighbors. Maybe you used to live in the city. Maybe you have family that lives in the city. Start praying for your city in a genuine, real way. Pray for them. Number two, pray for all those that were in the first responders. All those that showed up right away. Pray for those that were there already, like the workers in the theater, just the kids. Most of the people that work in theaters are just kids. Pray for them. Pray for the 800 or so that were in one of the two theaters. And of course, all the other people that were in that theater at the same time in that building. But pray for the policemen. Pray for the firefighters and the paramedics. Pray for the hospital workers, the nurses, the doctors, the CNAs, and all the levels of people that were called in to be a part of this. Pray for the Arapahoe County sheriffs who are overseeing the jail where the suspect is being kept. And we have one of them in our own church that came up after service and said, Ed, I'm really having a hard time because I have to come face to face with this guy each day that I'm at work. It's a very difficult, tense situation because he's not cooperating. So pray for them. Pray that they will not become hardened. Many of the Aurora PD that were on scene are in part of our church. Pray for them. You also can remember that this was not a result of God's plan. God's plan was in the Garden of Eden, perfection, prior to sin. And so remember that while this has happened, God's will is not for the innocent to suffer, because Jesus suffered once as an innocent man for the many. And so, Lord, I pray that just in the simplicity of our service today and the reality of your presence here among us, I pray for your comfort to be a part of our church. And through that, we would be able to be a comfort to our city. And I pray for all 12 of the families, I hope, as they wake up today, that you would give them just breath, that they could just breathe today. Send loving people into their lives that are close to them, that might encourage them. And I just want you to know, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, then today's the day to believe. Today's the day. And I want to invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he might forgive you of all of your sins and you can have a relationship with the living God. And if that's you, this is it. I believe that every week, every time. But now there's circumstances that make it really real for you, that you would believe that your life is so fragile and you don't want to enter into eternity apart from God.
We've been listening to the words of Pastor Ed Taylor, who serves the congregation of Calvary Chapel there in Aurora, Colorado, hearing the words he delivered to those hurting people on the Sunday after the shooting. Doctor, what a great reminder of the brevity of life during this past week.
You know, Lou Ann and Ryan, I have said many times, I wonder if our listeners remember it, that family talk is not the church. We are a parachurch organization. And I thank God for the ministers who are out there spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and dedicating their lives when people are suffering, as they are in Aurora at this time. And that was a wonderful sermon. And fittingly, he ended by drawing people to the cross. Mm-hmm. And that's why I am so supportive of the organized church and the pastors whose lives are dedicated to helping people in moments like this.
Well, Dad, I wonder if this message today has caused anyone listening to recognize the brevity of life and their own need for a Savior. Mm-hmm. I hope they'll call us because we can tell them more about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, call us anytime, 24 hours a day. Our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. You can also find information on our website at drjamesdobson.org.
Thank you all for joining us in honoring the memory of those lost in the Aurora shootings 1 week ago. Life is short. Spend some time this weekend worshiping God and hugging your kids. And tune in again on Monday for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.